Thank you, Doc. I appreciate that. Well, good morning. It is definitely an honor to be here, a joy to be here. And I've often had people ask me about that name, the Crooked Creek Baptist Church. And they said, have you ever thought about changing that name? I said, well, you know, I have thought about it, but it's been the name since 1803. So I don't believe the church would be interested in changing it at this point. And I tell folks, look, the creek is crooked, but the church is not. All right. And we are indeed placed on the Crooked Creek there and Athens, Georgia. And I love that flock. What a precious, precious group of people that God has given me the privilege to pastor, to love and to encourage and to be encouraged by. I thank God for that opportunity. Before we get into the message, I just want to just give thanks here just for a moment. I want to thank the Lord, first of all, my Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to thank Him for what He's done for me. Without Him, I can do nothing. And it's because of Him that I'm standing before you today, saved by His precious holy blood, on my way to glory. And as Brother Dietrich preached last night, we're on our way and serving Him to the fullest until we get there. And I just want to thank Him for His grace and mercy in my life. And I thank Him for sending me here to Ambassador. This place is so special to me. And I love it. And I love it because of what God is doing here, has done, and I believe will continue to do. You see, this precious book here, the precious Word of God, that's what this school is built on. It's not built on personality, although there are personalities here, and we're thankful for them. But the philosophy of this school is this blessed holy book. And I'm thankful for what the Lord did in my life and in teaching me this book here. I do believe this is where I truly grew to know my Savior through His Word and the classes. As Dr. Childs has mentioned last night, some of you know this, Dr. Childs would often give invitations, and I want that to be my philosophy in life. I always want to be tender and sensitive and always looking for the Lord to be working in our lives. And I'm so thankful that every classroom I went in while I was here, every one of them, the teacher was that sensitive to the Lord. They sensed the working of the Holy Spirit. If God was working in a student's heart, they would take the time to give an invitation. They would take the time to talk with you after class. The emphasis was spiritual growth. It was not to turn out a bunch of polished people. The emphasis was to help us to get grounded in the Word of God and our character. And I'm thankful that I received that. You know, I was in the Coast Guard for 4 years, and I did learn some discipline there. I'm still learning, but I've learned a lot of discipline. But one thing that I had coming to this school, I had some discipline, but one thing that was missing was character. And God used my years as an ambassador to really help form that character. I had some serious character flaws, and God was working that, and still God's still working on some of those areas. But during those years here at Ambassador, I know the Lord really dealt with me about that. And so I'm very, very thankful. Thank you to each of you teachers for all the time that you've spent in investing in my life and helping me be where I am today. I thank God for you and just rejoice in the Lord. Well, if you want to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 13, John chapter 13, while you're turning there, I'm thankful also for my first pastor being here, Pastor John Stevens. I'm so thankful for the investment he's made in my life. And my second pastor was Pastor Frank Camp. And thank God for him. And also Pastor Mark Pritchett. I don't think he's here today, but he was also my pastor. Hey, I'm just thankful for pastors, amen, that invest in our lives. I still consider them my pastors, and I still call them and ask them questions and just thank God for them. And many others here I could thank for just encouraging me in my walk with the Lord. John chapter 13, verse number 36 here. John chapter 13, verse 36. I forgot to set my timer here, so I know I've probably been talking 5 minutes already. So I'm going to go ahead and back this clock up here. And just want to respect the time that we have here together. John chapter 13, verse number 36. If you will find your place there, I'll read. The Bible says here, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. With the Lord's help, I want to preach a message entitled, Arguing with the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, what a joy it is to be here at Ambassador Baptist College. I'm so very thankful, dear God, for Dr. Comfort and the call you put on his life 30 years ago. I'm so grateful, God, for Dr. Bill, who has taken the reins and is doing a marvelous job. Thank you for the faculty and staff. Thank you for the student body here at this time. Thank you for the alumni. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in each of our lives. And we just give you all the glory. And we only ask, God, that you would just continue to help us. Continue to guide us. Continue to strengthen us. And Lord, even this morning, would you help us? Strengthen us. Grow our faith. And Lord, help us to hear your voice. And we'll be sure to give you all the glory, for it's in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Arguing with the Lord. Never a good idea. The Lord will win every time. And thank God for that. Have you ever met anyone that was quick to argue? Some of you are thinking of many people right now. But perhaps even yourself, one who was quick to argue and really not even just quick to argue, but almost gave the appearance that they enjoyed it. You know, the arguer, he's the one that will say, I'm not arguing, just explaining why I'm right. You know, that was really, I believe, Peter in many ways. Peter liked to argue. Peter liked to prove his point and to really do it his way. And we have a lot to learn from Peter. And I do believe that, I'm not going to get into all that, but I do believe a lot of that was due to some insecurity in Peter's life. But God's going to give him victory over that. And God's going to do a miraculous work in this man's life. And by the way, he's doing the same for us. And we can rejoice in the graciousness of our God, who does spend time with his children, training us, teaching us, correcting us, and even chastising. The Lord is faithful. And he does that. Now, you'll remember at this context, the Lord has announced to his disciples that, of course, he is going to be going away. And he has already spoken that truth to them. They're aware of that. And how much they took in is another thing. But he had explained it to them, and he was explaining to them again. This is, in fact, one of several arguments that Peter had with Jesus. Now, Peter actually, at one point, rebuked the Lord. That's how serious it got with Peter arguing with the Lord. The Lord had just poured out his heart in Mark chapter 8, verses 32 and 33, and told the disciples, Listen, children, men, I am going to die, and I'm going to rise again the third day. That's what Jesus told them in that passage. And Peter, upon hearing that truth, let me remind you, said, the Bible says, Peter rebuked the Lord. In other words, he said, Lord, no, you're not. Can you imagine? Lord, you're not going to do that. And what's interesting about that passage, which I think we can learn from Peter, Peter is just coming off a mountaintop spiritual experience from saying that. He had just been the one that announced when Jesus said, Who am I? Jesus said, Thou art the Son of God, the Christ. He claimed him as being God in the flesh and pronounced that and proclaimed that very clearly. And then just shortly after, and even Jesus commended him, Peter, you're right. And he went on to say, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell should not prevail against it, and how he was going to use Peter. And then Peter would make that statement and rebuke the Lord. He was arguing with the Lord. I also see where he argued with the Lord about washing the Lord's feet. Jesus washing his feet. And Jesus was wanting to show the example of servanthood, and Peter was not wanting to have that. He was going to argue with the Lord. Lord, no, can't let you do that. But he would, after the Lord would correct him, and thank God for that. But Peter was arguing with the Lord here, saying, Lord, I want to go with you. I want to go with you. But the Lord said, Peter, you can't go now. I underline that in my Bible, the words now in verse 36, and then I underline the word afterwards. Because that's what we're going to see here in this message. We learn some things from this dialogue from between Jesus and Peter. Peter's arguing with the Lord. And I want us to see here that in order to be used of God, we must just let God have His way. A heart of surrender. And that's exactly the place that God was bringing Peter, and the exact place that He's bringing you and me daily. The point of full surrender. I want to just notice two main points here that we can learn from. First of all, I want us to see that we must learn to take God at His word even when we don't understand. That's going to happen a lot. God's going to bring some things into your life and into my life, and He does, that we're not going to understand it. And that's what I believe the context here. Peter didn't understand some things. Peter didn't understand why he couldn't go with Jesus right at that time where he was going. In his overzealousness, he questioned God's will. You see, I believe Peter had a pure motive. I do. But an undeveloped maturity. He had a pure motive, but an undeveloped maturity. And due to that immaturity, he was rash, he was prideful, and oblivious to what Jesus was teaching. So he's going to teach him some things. I believe four major truths here, and I'm going to seek to go through these quickly, that I believe Peter did not yet understand about what the Lord was saying when he said, not now, Peter, but afterwards. First of all, I want us to see that Peter didn't understand what was all involved in his request. He didn't understand what was all involved by saying, Lord, I want to go with you. You see, Peter perhaps was thinking that Jesus was getting ready to go on another preaching trip. Maybe another healing trip where he would go through and heal people and preach the gospel and help people. Perhaps Peter had in his mind, but I don't believe he had in mind exactly what Jesus was going to do. Because remember, he had rebuked the Lord for even talking about going to the cross. And so here we said, Peter said, I want to go with you. And Jesus says, look, you can't go now. I believe he didn't understand what was all involved. And even if he did, I want to know, he still did not understand the depth of what he was asking. Because Jesus wasn't going on another preaching trip, if you will. He was going to Calvary. He was going to be tortured. He was going to die in agony and suffering. And he was going to do it alone. And Peter did not understand that concept there, that Jesus was going to the cross. And so therefore, he had some things to understand about that. Listen, there may be some things in your life right now, some decisions you're wanting to make, some things that you're wanting to do. And God is saying in his still small voice, now is not the time. There's some things I need to teach you, because indeed, what, as Brother Dietrich even mentioned, I believe, was one of the preachers yesterday saying, you're not sure, Brother Roland, you're not sure what God is going to lead you to do. I'm telling you, if you were to see it right now, maybe you wouldn't do it. So God's got you in this season of life, whether you're a student or whether you're in the ministry full time, you're wanting to make some decisions. Perhaps God is saying, wait. Because you don't understand what's going to be involved. When I signed the dotted line there for the U.S. military and the Coast Guard specifically, I have to admit here very quickly, I had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea what I was signing up for. And I signed up for the Coast Guard, and boy, I had these big dreams in my mind, and that was okay, that was fine, nothing wrong with that. But I thought that when I went to the Coast Guard, I would go right into saving lives. I thought they would put me on a boat, and they'd put me in charge of it, and boy, I thought it was just going to be a grand old time. Well, I found out very differently in boot camp. I had some things to learn. And brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever stage you are in life, I guarantee you there are some things that God is trying to teach you and me before that next step comes. Peter didn't understand what was all involved. But then I'd like to submit, secondly, he didn't understand that he was a very weak man apart from God's grace and power. He did not understand that he was a very weak man apart from God's grace and power. And the Lord is going to teach Peter about Peter's weakness. See, Peter didn't understand a lot about Peter. And in life, God will do that often. He will reveal to us our own sinful hearts so that we can see our way is not the best way. The best way is God's way. And so he's going to help Peter understand his own heart. The Lord had some things to teach Peter about his weakness. What were some of those weaknesses? The same weaknesses that we experience. Peter didn't, first of all, understand the depravity of his sinful nature. I mean, here's a man that said, Lord, I will not deny you. I'm going with you all the way. Whatever it means, I'm going with you. I will not deny you. And he did, indeed. He did not understand the wickedness of his own heart apart from the Lord's power. Paul dealt with that in 1 Corinthians 10:12, where he says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Listen, can I give you some practical advice that we need to be very, very careful with? And I don't want you taking this the wrong way. Please don't. But we need to be very careful about saying something that we will never do. Or something that we say we will always do. Listen, your motive can be pure, and I understand that, but listen, be very careful. Because I've heard even men preach from this pulpit. I've been in class with brothers and sisters in Christ who would make that very same statement. And where they're at today is nowhere near that statement. Listen, I think a better and more accurate way of stating things about wanting to follow the Lord is perhaps something like this. Lord, apart from your grace and power, I am a man or woman of sinful passions. And dear God, I need your grace every single moment of life. There's a holy dependence upon God where we never get confident in the flesh. Dear brothers and sisters, we need to be reliant upon the Lord. Peter had to learn that. Peter also didn't understand the debility of his own efforts. He didn't understand the debility of his own efforts. He thought he could do it in his power. And Paul also dealt with that, didn't he? Now, he said, listen, no one should think more highly of themselves as they ought to think, but to think soberly. Peter thought he was a pretty good guy. Peter thought he was pretty strong. And upon that time, that's when we fall. That's when the fall happens. You know, Peter had a problem of taking matter into his own hands. By the way, that's another temptation and a weakness. Somebody that's argumentative, somebody that tends to that weakness. They also, and we all do at times, but there's a tendency to have confidence in our own abilities and our own efforts. You know, this truth was truly shown when Peter would cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. You understand what was going on there. Jesus had announced that he was going to die, but Peter was still refusing. And Peter wanted to take matters into his own hands. And he probably would have cut the man's head off if he could have, but he missed and got the ear. And, you know, the Lord rebuked him. The Lord said, put up the sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink? of it. You know what he was saying to Peter? Peter, I'm going to Calvary. I got a mission, Peter. And you don't need to keep trying to put your hands on this mission because I'm in control. I'm going to the cross and you just need to follow my example. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus is going to show him. I'm telling you, God's going to give Peter a true change of heart. You see what was in Peter's heart right there? Kill him! He's trying to put his hands on my Savior, my God, the Messiah who's going to be king. I'll kill him. But you know what? Jesus was going to take Peter's heart from wanting to kill him to wanting to have a heart of sacrifice. Because see, instead of chopping the man's ear off or head off or whatever you will, Jesus wants Peter and wants you and me to be at a place where we're not out to murder sinners. We're out to give them the gospel. We're out to lay our hearts and lives down for them. God doesn't want us going around threatening people physically and threatening them to harm them with violence. But Peter's heart was in that way. And the Lord was going to correct that. But also see that Peter didn't understand the inability to do the will of God without the power of God. You see, Peter was trying to do things in his own power. But I want to say here, and you know this, but something we need to be reminded because we all can have Peter-like tendencies and we know it. We cannot do the will of God outside the power of God. And if you're not careful, even here in a place like Bible college, you will go through your classes and you will do them in your own power and not in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's something that he was learning. Because he was trying to do it in his own power, he failed miserably. So then we see here, thirdly, not only did we see that God was going to show him about his own weakness and help him understand he didn't even really know what he was asking, the depth of it. But I see here that Peter didn't understand that Jesus' mission was not complete. The pattern was not complete. And let me explain that. Jesus Christ, his mission is to go to the cross and to shed his precious blood for the sins of the whole world. And he had to go and fulfill that mission and fulfill it perfectly, which he did, praise God. He fulfilled it perfectly and right on time according to God's perfect will. But Jesus had to do that to set an example to Peter and to the rest of the world. His mission was yet to be completed. Peter didn't understand that. Jesus was trying to set a pattern, and Jesus knew that he was going to Calvary. He had to go alone. Jesus was going alone because, hey, listen, that's just the truth. That's what had to happen. God himself had to do it alone. And he's going to set an example here. I like the way one author put it. He said this was teaching an example of Peter, an example of complete suppression to the personal will in obedience to the Father's will. Complete suppression to the personal will in obedience to the Father's will. And then secondly, it was an example of complete self-sacrifice for the love of mankind. For the love of mankind. Jesus was going to teach Peter that. You know, McLaren said this, to follow Jesus is to live denying self for God and to live sacrificing self for men. That was the example. Peter didn't understand what true sacrifice looked like, but oh, he would soon learn. He would absolutely soon learn, as we will read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, and chapter 4, verse 1, that we might look at. But we see here that Jesus is setting an example. You know, are we learning from that example today? Here in Bible college, in our various ministries, are we seeking to have a life fully surrendered, our own personal will suppressed, and our full surrender to the will of the Father? What about complete sacrifice for the love of mankind? I can remember being in Bible college, these were some testing days, being in the dorm life especially. This thing of being totally surrendered unto the Father and just seeking to do the will of God, but then trying to love my brothers in the dorm room. That could be a challenge. But can I give you some assurance here? And sisters, by the way, God is using the sisters in your dorm room to challenge you in some of these ways. You know, listen, let me just tell you, God is preparing you for the ministry. When you get out there in that local church and you're pastoring or assistant pastoring or you're in evangelism or and you're a preacher's wife or a youth pastor's wife, I want to tell you, you're going to have to be spiritually minded to find success in the will of God. If carnal people get on your nerves in the dorm room, listen. Let God get a hold of your heart. Because God's going to call you to minister to carnal people. People struggling in their weakness, struggling in their flesh. And the truth is, if that thing just gets on your nerves and gets under your skin and frustrates you, and you look down upon that sort of thing, I want to tell you, God's going to keep you in that until you learn to love on those people. Not to gossip about them. Not to criticize them, talk behind their back, but to love on them. Reach them where they are. Tell them the truth. Love on them. That's what the ministry is. And Peter was going to learn that. Peter was going to learn the example that Jesus was to set in laying down his life. But then also, fourthly, we see that Peter didn't understand that Jesus had to go to leave this earth so that the Holy Spirit would come and indwell Peter. Jesus had to go so that Peter could know the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. It was then that Peter could live out the life of Christ. For the next three chapters in the book of John, Jesus is going to teach them about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Chapters 14, 15, and 16, he's going to expound unto them about the Comforter and that how he would come and that he would be live the life of Christ through them. And he was teaching Peter, but Peter didn't understand that. But he would. We read in the book of Acts that in chapters 1 and 2 that he picked up pretty quickly, didn't he? He understood that, the ascension, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit. It's all making sense now. And that is just the truth here this morning. My brothers and sisters, if we would just live a fully surrendered life and walk by faith each step of the way, we will look back and say, that makes perfect sense. We just got to walk by faith, surrendered to the will of the Father, even when we don't understand. It's okay if you don't understand. Peter didn't understand, but he would. And that's why Jesus said, Peter, you can't follow me now, but afterwards. And that's where I see point number two. And I close with this. Just like Peter's time was coming, our time is coming. Remember the promise, Peter. Not now, but afterwards. Peter had some pivotal lessons to learn in the season of his life about the Christian life. And when he learned it and he got to that point, God launched him forward with the power of God. And it wasn't something that was manufactured. It wasn't anything that was artificial. It was something that he had to learn through some hard lessons. And you might be going through some hard lessons right now. God might be humbling you. God might be teaching you some things, but just let Him have His perfect work. Let Him have it. He'll launch you forward and you'll be able to minister in the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus lets Peter know that you're going to be ready. And in closing, we also see that there was another momentous dialogue given in John chapter 21. And Peter would want to argue a little bit more, just kind of not sure what's going on. But he's going to confront him on that. Just go over there real quick as we come to a close. As we come to a close, look at John chapter 21. After this discourse dialogue between Peter and Jesus, Jesus is going to teach him some things here about feeding my sheep. And the work he has for him. And he's also going to talk to him about Peter's death. and how Peter would go forward for him. And then he says in verse 19, this he spake, signifying by what death he should. He says, by what he should die. Look there. It says in verse number 19, when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Peter was ready. Peter was ready. And even Peter, you know, Peter couldn't stop being completely Peter, because then he was concerned about the other disciple. And Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, now what shall this man do? And then guess what Jesus says again? Brings it back to Peter. Peter, Peter, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? What does he say? Follow thou me. That is the truth that Peter got, and he got it fully. Thank God he did. And he would write there in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, that we are to follow in the example of Christ, in the example of his sufferings. And so I'd say he certainly did get it. What about us? Are we letting God teach us, or are we arguing with him? Are we trying to get our way? Are we trying to get out of tough things and just let God humble us and teach us and strengthen us? That's what God wants to do. Are you resisting this stage or this season of life that you are currently in? Hey, listen, why don't you ask God, God, just teach me. Just form me. Just help me. Just strengthen me. Get me to the place where I can be most effective for your glory, and do whatever you have to do. In closing, General William Booth was once asked to reveal the secret of his success. And of course, ears perk up then. We're always wanting to know the secret to success. But there's some validity to this, because it's Bible. After some hesitation, tears would roll down William Booth's face. And he said, I'll tell you the secret. God has had all there is of me. And he goes on to say this, there have been men with greater brains than I have. There have been men with greater opportunities that I've had. But he said this, the day that I got the poor of London on my heart, I caught a vision of what Jesus could do with them. And on that day, I made up my mind that God should have all of William Booth there was. And it was in this time that Dr. J. Wilbur Chapman made this remark upon that testimony. He said, I learned from William Booth that the greatness of a man's power is the measure of his surrender. Listen, full surrender, full power. That's God's way. Let's pray. Father, oh God, we all have Peter-like tendencies. But Lord, we want to learn like Peter learned. We don't want to stay in a stage of carnality or pride or laziness. Lord, we want to learn. We want to grow. Because, dear God, the little time that we have, we want to be used for you in your glory. So, Lord, I pray your blessings upon this message. And we'll make sure we give you all the thanks. In Jesus' precious name I do pray. Amen.